If you got your Bible, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. So grateful that you're here this morning, braving the wet conditions and just getting out. I know May is busy for a lot of people, but just excited to be with you this morning, excited for the opportunity to just dig into the Word of God and just see what God has to say to us this morning, you know. So excited about just the opportunity to walk with you guys and grow in the Lord together. And can I just speak to you this morning? God's heart is for you to grow in Him. Wherever you are today, listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know where you're going, but God does. But here's what I do know is that wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, the heart of God is for you to grow. Some of you are in some difficult situations, and you need God to rescue you out of that. Some of you have known God, and you've been serving God for a long time, and the heart of God is to continue to grow you. The heart of God is that you never get stuck in Him, that you go beyond where you are right now. Come on. The Lord is a Savior. His arm is not too short that He will not save you. He will rescue you from situations. But then His heart is also that we would grow even from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Amen? There's always more of God. And so that's the heart of this church. It's my heart as your pastor to see you growing in Him. And so would you open your heart this morning for the Lord to speak to you and encourage you wherever you are in that situation, whether today you need God to show up and rescue you from a dire circumstance, or today I'm trusting that the Lord will speak to some of us and cause us to once again in a fresh or a new way begin to move forward into who He's made possible and who He desires for us to become in Him. Amen. Come on, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, that we would not just be believers, we would be disciples. And we would not just be disciples, but we would be followers of God, followers of Christ. Come on, we believe and we have eternal life. But when we begin to follow Him, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so it's one thing, and we enter into God's kingdom, we enter into eternal life, we enter into the promises of God by believing. But then Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you. Come on, I don't know about you, but I want God to make me into the man of God that He's called me and destined me and is leading me to be and become. Amen. Come on, who wants God to make you into who He's created you to be? Amen. Well, we have to follow. We have to answer the call. We have to go beyond just believing that there is a God or believing that Jesus is God, and we need to begin to become disciples, and not just disciples, but followers of Him. Come on, Pastor Eli and Elisa, they're following. They've heeded and heard the voice of God, and they're following His voice, and God's making them into something. And we're so proud of them. How many of you know that's not reserved just for elders or pastors? It's the heart of God, the call of God, the invitation of God to every one of us. Every one of us to follow. God's calling us to an act of faith. And listen, I want to talk to you this morning about a practical way, a spiritual and practical way to begin to walk this out, of not allowing ourselves to get stuck where we are in our personal faith, of embracing the reality that God has more. He wants you to grow from strength to strength, from glory to glory. He wants to speak. There's a call. There's a purpose. There's something He's leading you to. We're called to live out an act of faith. And I want to talk to you this morning about hearing the voice of God. I want to talk to you about beginning to grow in our ability to listen to what God's speaking and to hear what He's saying in a way that allows us to begin to step into where He's leading us to. I mean, you know, it's hard to go somewhere. It's hard to obey God if we're not able to hear God. And God still speaks. Come on, that's something that we just need to understand. And that's where we are in John chapter 10. Come on, if you're there, say I'm there. And in John chapter 10, it says this, starting in verse 3. And this is Jesus speaking, and He's talking to us about the fact that He's come to make a way for us to know our Heavenly Father. He's come to make a way for you to know your Heavenly Father. And He says, the gatekeeper, this is Jesus talking. He says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for Him, and the sheep listen to His voice. Come on, say, listen. And He calls His own sheep by name, and He leads them out. Come on, He knows your name. He knows your name. And He leads them out. And when He has brought out all His own, He goes on ahead of them. And His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from Him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And I just want to ask you this morning, what voice are you listening to? what voices are shaping, what voices are calling out, what voices are leading you in your life, in your marriage, in your calling towards your future. There are lots of voices that are calling out for your attention and crying out for your attention. What voice are you listening to? God still speaks. And down in verse 27, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. Come on, once again, say listen. Come on, say it again, listen. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Come on, you know there's a difference between hearing and listening. Come on, where are my parents at? My parents in the room know there's a difference between hearing and listening. Amen. You can hear something and not really be listening. And he says, my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen. And Ezekiel 3 verse 10 says this way. It says, he said to me, son of man, listen carefully. Come on, say, listen carefully. And take to heart all the words that I speak to you. Can I submit to you? That's really the difference between hearing and listening. It's listening, it's hearing something from the perspective of saying, what is being said I want to pull into my heart so that I can begin to apply it to my life. There's a difference between hearing and listening. I was talking to my son Aaron yesterday, and we had had kind of a rough day on a number of levels. I hope that's okay for your pastors to have, you know, difficult days raising our kids. Amen. Come on, we're not perfect. We're just pressing into God just the same way we're trying to lead you guys to do. And I was having a conversation with him, and I was saying, Aaron, I sense that you're hearing me, but I'm not sure that you're really listening. And do you understand, Aaron, that just like your coach, we had been over in Kansas City at a baseball tournament, I said, just like your coach is calling out to you from that third base box, get your hands high, get your hands loaded. Come on, Aaron, step into it, be quicker, get to the ball, get the bat to the ball, just like he's calling out to you from the third base box. And his heart is to just help you. He wants to help you. He's watching you, and he just wants to help you get a hit. He wants to help you get on base. He wants to help you succeed. And I said, the same way that he's calling those things out to you, when your mom and when we're speaking to you and we're encouraging you and we're disappointing you, it's because we want to help you. And I said, Aaron, the quicker that you can go beyond just hearing and kind of trying to survive the moment and actually begin to embrace and listen, and you can grasp the revelation that we're your parents and we're for you, just like that coach is trying to help you. We're just trying to help you. Would you go beyond hearing, and would you begin to listen to me as your dad, understanding that I care about you, son. I care about you. And I'm trying to set you up. I'm trying to help you get a hit in life. I'm trying to help you discover and become everything that God's made possible, Aaron, for you to become as a mighty young man of God. And then he said, Dad, were you talking? No, just kidding, just kidding. He was hearing, and hopefully he was listening. Hopefully he wasn't thinking about Fortnite or whatever it is, you know, that he's got going on in his life. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Can I tell you, our perspective about God affects how we relate to God. And how we relate to God affects how we hear God. Because I believe God's always looking to speak. He's always looking to lead us. But many of us have been through some things that have caused us, just like I was challenging Aaron, begin to see it differently. Your mom and I, we love you. When we discipline you, when we're talking to you, when we're correcting you, when we're engaging with you, it's because our heart is so filled with love for you. It's because more than anything in our life, we would lay down our life to get you to your destiny. And God's always trying to speak, but our perspective, some of us have been through some things and we see God in a light that complicates our ability to hear from him as a loving father. And in the Matthew chapter 16, Jesus had come into the region of Caesarea Philippi, it says in verse 13. And he was having a conversation with his disciples. And it says that he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said, and by the way, can I just encourage you that our answer to this question is one of the most foundational and the most directional things of our life in faith. Who do we say that Jesus is? Is he just a good man? Was he a prophet of old? Who do we say that he is? He said, who do they say that I am? And they said, they say these things. And then he said, well, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, and he said, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He's saying there's authority, there's victory that I want to release to you and give you. But is it possible that it's dependent on who we say that Jesus is and how we see who he is in our lives? He wants to give you those things, authority and victory. Come on, he says, "I'll be on this rock of who I really am, your Savior, who I really am. I'm not just a good religious figure to be celebrated on Christmas and Easter. I'm the Messiah. I'm your Redeemer. I came to make a way. I came to forgive you. I came to reconcile you into this amazing relationship with the Heavenly Father who sent me because he loves you so much. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? And is it different on Sundays than it is on Tuesdays? Is it different on Wednesdays than it is on Friday night? Who do you say that he is?" Come on, our perspective about God affects how we relate to God and how we hear God. And, you know, there's, you guys remember a few years ago, there was that, I think it was a few years ago, there was that crazy dress that, like, had stripes on it, and people were blowing up the internet, like, putting that dress out there. Like, some people thought it was, like, white and gold, and other people thought it was blue and brown. Come on, let me see your hand if you just remember that. Just, come on, interact with me a little bit this morning. Well, this last week, there was a new thing that came out and tried to blow up the internet, and some of you probably are aware of it. Some of you are going to kind of get introduced to it this morning, but come on, where's Team Yanny at? Let me hear from Team Yanny. You guys, some of you knew where I was going. Where's Team Laurel at? So there's this audio clip. There's this audio clip that started going around the internet this week, and when you listen to it, some people hear the word, or say they hear the word Laurel. I don't know that come on, Team Yanny. I'm the team captain for Team Yanny. And some of you say you hear the word Laurel, but I don't know that I really believe it. And some of us, hear the word Yanny. Come on, did we have that clip back there? If you haven't heard it, I want to play it for you this morning, and I want to give you the opportunity to join Team Laurel, or the winning team, Team Yanny.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
All right. Well, one more time. Turn it up. Everyone be quiet. Shh.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
All right. All right, that's good. All right, who hears Yanny? Who hears Laurel? Oh, there's more Laurels. Don't gang up on Team Yanny. Team Yanny, there's more of them than there is of us. Yeah, come on, there is a scientific reason behind it. But there's something spiritual that I'm going at this morning as well. So I started seeing this blow up the internet, and then I came across a different one that really started to speak to me and really started to challenge me. Who saw the brainstorm green needle thing? He saw that? So here's the thing about this one. They're about to play another audio clip. Here's the thing that's fascinating about this. And for me, it works every time. For some people, it works occasionally. For some people, you're going to be frustrated. Just get ready. Like looking at one of those things that, you know, you're staring at the thing and people are like, "Oh, I see a spaceship flying upward into the sky." And I'm just looking at it. I just see a pile of confusion, you know, and they're like, just unfocus your eyes. And I'm like, "You mean focus them? You know what I mean?" And they're like looking at it like some people see like the thing that's in there, and I can never see it. So hopefully it works for you, but get ready to play this. And here's the thing. There's two words, and here's what I want to ask you to do. It's the same audio track. By the way, that audio track that you guys were listening to a minute ago, it's the same word that's being spoken there, and it's actually the word Laurel. It's a college student was studying for a final and went into a dictionary to find out what the word Laurel meant. And she heard Laurel, and her friend that was studying next to her heard the word Yanny. It's the same thing, two different people hearing two different things. This one right here is dependent upon what you are thinking about. They're going to play the same clip. And if you're thinking about brainstorm, come on, hang in there with me, okay? Hang in there. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, "Hang in there." If you're thinking about the word brainstorm, you hear the word brainstorm. If you're thinking about the word green needle, at least me in my house, we hear green needle. So go ahead and play it. Go ahead and play it. So you have to make a decision, though. Are you going to think Brainstorm or are you going to think Green Needle? If you're going to think Brainstorm, let me see your hand. I'm hearing Brainstorm every time. It's working for me. Is it working for anyone else? It worked for you? I can hear both of them. When I think Brainstorm, I hear Brainstorm. When I think Green Needle, I hear Green Needle every single time. Every single time. Come on. The same audio track and two groups of people are hearing two different things. How important is your perspective? Who do men say that I am? Jesus came and he lived out the same life before everybody, but different people. One group of people looked at him and saw him this way. And another group of people looked at him and saw him the other way, and it completely and forevermore changed their lives. Who do you say that I am? What's your perspective towards me? Who do you say that I am? Jesus said. Come on, our perspective affects the way we relate to God, and the way we relate to God affects the way that we hear God. And the first thing I want to encourage you with is just a parameter for how we God wants us to relate to him is that he's good. He's good. Come on, say God is good. And all the time, God is good. Come on, if we can grasp this, we can understand. Come on, just like I was challenging Aaron, it feels like I'm being hard on you, and it feels like I'm disciplining you, and I am, but it's because I love you. It's because I really am. You can't see it yet. But one day you will, you'll understand that I really am trying my best to be a good father to you. And I wouldn't be good if I allowed you to keep moving ahead and going forward with that pattern of behavior that you were exhibiting today. It doesn't feel pleasant to you, but I'm telling you, just get it. The quicker that you get it, Aaron, the quicker that you'll be able to embrace and not just hear what I'm saying, but begin to listen and apply it to your heart. He's a good father. Some of you have been through some things, and some of you are going through some things even today. And you've got questions, and you've got doubts, and you've had injuries, and you've had pains, and you've had disappointments, and things didn't go the way you thought they would go, and you suffered loss. And I'm just telling you that those things can come in, and it's understandable, and sometimes it's difficult to stand against it, but in the midst of all those things, somehow, someway, you've got to understand in the depths of your heart that God is good. Everything he's doing, everything you're hearing, it might be difficult in the moment, but God is good all the time. And he says in Isaiah 55, he says, come. He says, come. All you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? He says, listen, listen to me. He says it twice, listen, listen to me. Come on, say listen. Come on, say the word listen. He says, listen, listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear, he says, and come to me, listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. He says, listen. And he's saying, listen. He's multiple times through there, he says, listen. He's saying, don't just hear, listen. Lend your ear, lend your ear. Listen in. There's all kinds of things clamoring for your attention. Lean in and listen in. And he's saying, this is who I am to you. I desire to refresh you. I desire to provide for you. I desire to be generous to you. I want you to find your delight in me. And I want you to experience my goodness. Listen. He says, listen. Our perspective affects the way we relate to God, which affects the way that we hear God. And God still speaks, and he wants to lead you into the things that he has for your life, for your marriage, for your family. And there are all kinds of competing voices. And Joshua and Caleb, Moses, and Joshua in Numbers, rather, 13. Moses sent out 12 spies to go and to go and spy out the promised land that God was leading them into. And he sent out those 12 spies, and they came back. They spent 40 days spying out the land. And they came back, and Joshua and Caleb began to share their report. And they said, it indeed is a good land, flowing with milk and honey. It's a good place, but there are giants in the land. But we should go up at once and begin to walk into and begin to take the promises that God has promised us as his people. And then it's, I think it's fascinating. They're sharing this report. And then in verse 30, it says, Caleb told the people to be quiet and listen to Moses. Come on, say, listen. And Caleb said, let's go now and take possession of the land. We should be more than able to conquer it. Even as Joshua and Caleb were bringing a good report and trying to stir faith, you can just picture it in your mind's eye. You can envision it that the people started clamoring and they started chattering and they started saying, that's not what I heard. I talked to Joe and he said that we shouldn't go in. And they were talking and Caleb said, be quiet and listen. Let's go and let's take possession. And it says, but the men who had gone with him, the ten said, we can't attack these people. They're too strong for us. And they began to spread lies among the Israelites about the land that they had explored. And they said, the land we explored is one that devours those who live there. And all the people we saw there are very tall. Listen, they had gone into the same place. But upon Joshua and Caleb's life, there was a different grace. Upon Joshua and Caleb's life, there was the faith to trust God over what they saw. There was a grace to live by faith and not by sight. There was a grace to have heard what God had said and not just fall on deaf ears, but for it to really land in their hearts. God said it, and so we believe it, Joshua and Caleb said. God said this. God's promised this. We didn't just hear it. We listened, and we applied it to our heart, and we believe God is who he says he is, and he will do what he has said he will do. They didn't deny the challenges. They said the people, Joshua and Caleb said, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's some of its fruit, but the people who live there are strong. The cities have walls and are very large. Come on, faith doesn't turn a blind eye to the challenges that you're going to be up against. Faith in God just says, our God is greater. And as your pastor, I'm never going to say, well, just turn a blind eye to that. You know, turn a blind eye to the doctor report. Turn a blind eye to the marital problem, whatever. I'm just saying, faith in God, if you'll just embrace faith in God, is the gift of God to you to take it head on and challenge it and overcome it. They saw the same place, a place with challenges, a place with obstacles. But Joshua and Caleb saw the opportunities. We need to begin to see things through eyes of faith. Come on, maybe there's been something you've been believing for and you've been up against delay. And I just want to encourage you this morning to begin to see delay not as defeat, but as God's divine protection to prepare you and God's divine, God's better planned redirection. You're up against delay and the enemy comes and says, see, it's not going to happen. Did God really say, see, it's not going to happen? And I'm just telling you this morning, it's easy to buy into that because we can become discouraged. Well, God, I thought you would do this. I thought you would heal me. I thought you would restore that relationship. I thought you would provide the way. I thought you would open the door. And I'm just telling you, we got to begin to see it differently in the context that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. It's who he is to us. When we're up against delay, we can begin to see it differently. It's not defeat. It's divine protection. And so I want to encourage you this morning that we've got to begin to prepare ourselves. Come on, we're moving beyond just being believers in God. We're moving into being disciples and followers of Christ. Come on, that's my heart for you, and that's God's heart for you. And so to begin to relate to God in that way and begin to position ourselves to hear him and what he's really saying and what he's really doing, we've got to begin to spend time with him. We've got to begin to put our trust in him. We've got to begin to find our strength from him. We've got to begin to spend time in his word. We've got to make time. Come on, all these voices are clamoring for your attention. And we've got to be diligent to say, you know what? I've got to, as for my day, I'm prioritizing spending time with the Lord Jesus. I'm prioritizing spending time with my Heavenly Father and listening to what he has to say about who I am and about what he's calling me to. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God, whether it's a spoken word or the written word, and it's all the word of God, has to begin to speak louder to you about your circumstances and your situations and your future than the voices of the world. And the only way it can do that is if you still your soul and spend time with him. If you begin to get into this word, you begin to, come on, talking about seeing it differently. You begin to see that this isn't a book of rules and regulations and legalism. This is a book. This is not an obligation to spend time in God's word. It's an invitation to find out who he is and to find out about his ways and to find out about who he's made possible for you to be and become. We've got to begin to spend time with him where his word begins to thunder louder in our spirits than the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. And come on, can I just tell you, let me just encourage you with this. That's the way the enemy operates. He's going to come and he's going to try to lie. He's going to come. We've got to be so strong and confident in who God is and who we are in him and what his word says about both of those things, that the voices of fear and the voices of doubt begin to be outweighed by who God is and what he said. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says the serpent was crafty. He was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, he came to the woman and he said, Did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden? And you know what the reality was? God hadn't said that. It was a setup from the enemy. And the enemy is always going to come and he's going to try to produce doubt in your mind. Did God really say that he was this and he would do that in your life? We've got to overcome voices of doubt. We've got to overcome voices of fear. Later on in that same chapter, Genesis chapter 3, in verse 8, it says, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And it says they heard, and look what it says next. It says they hid from the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man. Come on, aren't you grateful for the grace of God? He's persistent. His love never fails. His love never gives up. Nothing can separate us. Come on, it might be temporarily. You might find yourself temporarily separated, but the voice of God, the word of God, the love of God is calling out to you. It's beckoning you to come back. And it says they heard the sound of the Lord walking and they hid. Why'd they hide? Because they had bought into a lie. They had bitten into a lie. And they found themselves naked and ashamed. And in verse 10, Adam responds to the voice of God saying, where are you? Where are you? Come on, some of you this morning, the heart of your father is calling out to you and he's saying, where are you? He's saying, where are you? Come on, and when God asks a question, he almost always knows the answer. It's not for his benefit. It's because he's just trying to say, where are you? Where have you been? Who have you been listening to about who you are and about who I am? And he's saying, come back to me. And Adam responded, and he said, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Come on, look at, he was afraid because he was naked. Look at your neighbor and say, put some clothes on. And the Lord God said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, who told you? Who told you? Who told you? Who you listening to? Who you listening to is what God's saying. Who told you? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The enemy's going to lie to you. To begin to hear the voice of God, we have to begin to allow the voice of God to speak louder than the voices of doubt and the voices of fear. We have to start understanding who we are. Come on, put some clothes on. What's the Bible say? That Adam and Eve found themselves. They said that we were naked, we were afraid, we were hiding. You created us to exist in this kind of a relationship with you and this kind of a perfect peace and unity with you. And we listened to a lie and we began to live it for ourselves and we began to live this other thing. And now the Lord's coming back and saying, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Who told you? Come back. And Adam and Eve said, we're naked and we're afraid. We're ashamed. We're hiding. We're hiding from God. We're hiding from what you intended for us. Come on, who's hiding this morning? Who's hiding from the thing that God is wanting to lead you into, the life that he has for you? He says, we were naked and we were afraid. And Job 29:14 says that I clothe myself with righteousness. I put on righteousness and it clothes me. And the righteousness of God is oftentimes and frequently described throughout the word of God as a garment that we put on. It's a garment that Christ purchased for us. And come on, it's not that we do it in our own strength. It's only by the gift of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 says, we implore you on Christ's behalf. Come on, I implore you this morning as your pastor. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin, speaking of Jesus, to become sin for us. Come on, he did it for you. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Maybe it was a relationship with an earthly father or mother. Maybe it was something that happened, a wound that happened when you were even in church or growing up in church. Whatever it is, something that as I'm speaking, you just know that's you this morning. Something entered into your life and it skewed your ability to see God as good. And you hear me talking about that this morning, and you hear me preaching about that this morning, but it's kind of, you're hearing it, but you're not really hearing it in your heart. Because there's that block, there's that wound, there's that hurt, there's that offense. If that's you today, I believe that the Lord wants to minister to you and begin to set you free from whatever that is, begin to heal you. If that's you, would you just stand to your feet? Come on, this is a place of grace, and there's just freedom in the house to just respond. Don't sit there and stay in that place. This morning, God wants to set you free. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you're sitting this morning and there's a scheme of doubt or fear that has crippled you from being able to hear and obey what God's called you into, including just a relationship with Him, or maybe it's something that God's called you to of forgiving or reconciling a relationship or serving in the community or in the church, whatever it is for you. If you've been just gripped by fear or doubt, maybe you stepped out at one time. Maybe there was a season where you had the faith to hear and obey, and you stepped out and it didn't go well, and it's put you in a place where you've been sidelined by fear or doubt. If that's you this morning, would you stand to your feet? Believe that the Lord wants to just minister to you and set you free from fear and doubt this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now this morning, if you're here and you find yourself isolated, hiding from God, running from God, and you realize this morning that more than anything else, you need a relationship with your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ in a new way or a fresh way. If that's you today and you want to give your life to Jesus and you want to begin to run that race and you want to begin to put on those garments and be clothed with who you really are and who God really is so that you can begin to connect to the life that He's made possible for you. Come on, if that's you this morning, don't just stand to your feet. Come on, leap to your feet. Leap to your feet to receive this morning the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Come on, just one more moment. If that's you, your heart's just stirring or your heart's just burning, your heart is beating fast this morning, those are indications that this is the Lord just speaking to you, that's you. Just stand to your feet. Come on, and can the rest of the church just stand? Everyone stand and just join these precious people this morning. And right, if you stood for any one of those three things, just remain in a posture of receiving, and just all across this room, just remain in a position of just receiving whatever the Lord would be speaking to you. And would you just join with me in your own personal faith as I pray and just minister to those three groups of people. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are good. And Lord, we pray for anyone that's here this morning and something happened, something entered in, and it's affected the way they see you. And it's caused them to have this wall or this hindrance to really knowing and believing that you are good. They hear it, but they're not hearing it in their heart. Whatever it was, Lord, a hurt, a wound, an offense, a disappointment, I pray right now that the voice of the reality of the voice of the Lord, His love for you, His grace towards you, His hope for you, the future that He has for you, what He speaks about you more than what the enemy speaks about you would begin to rise up in your heart. And Lord, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would begin to set people free today. Set people free today from whatever that is so that they can begin to run ahead and run forward into what you have for them and run into who you've made possible for them to be. And Lord, people who have been gripped and crippled by doubt and by fear, whatever it was that caused that to enter in, God, we pray that you would come today and that you would begin to bring courage and strength in life in a fresh and a new way by your Spirit today, God. Whatever it is, God, we pray that you would begin to open their heart to once again begin to trust you, to once again begin to look to you, to once again to hear you, and not just hear, but to begin to step into what you're speaking and what you're calling them to. And Lord, we thank you for those precious people that stood today to give their lives to you and make you Lord of their life. And right now, I want us all to just be activated to just pray this prayer along with those precious people. Come on, church family. Would you just pray this with those precious people today? And if that's you, just pray it in your heart. We believe that if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is who He says He is, that you'll be born again into the kingdom of God this morning. So come on, church, pray it with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price and make a way for my sins to be forgiven and for my life to be made new. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I put my hope and my trust in you and you alone. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a new life and I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, I'll never be the same. Come on, put your hands together for those that made that commitment this morning. And so thankful for you and so thankful for your life. Come on, let's close with worship, and then Pastor Eli will come and dismiss us here in a moment.